God is the creator, and the world is his creation. We have God, who is our creator, and we have the world, which is his creation. It is very important for us to understand the difference. It is very important for us to understand the relationship between the creator and his creation. There are many people today who do not recognize or do not understand this difference and this relationship. Now, of course, I'm not just talking about people who are idolaters today. We still do have many people, millions in fact, who serve, worship, and pray to idols. This is tragic. This is sad. But we also have people who would never bow down before a carved image, who at the same time place more value on nature itself than they do the God who gave us nature. We have all kinds of environmental groups, all kinds of animal rights activists who place far more stress and place far more value on the creation than they do the Creator. And they certainly don't regard the will of the Creator, and they certainly don't value man as God values man in relationship to the creation. This is tragic as well. What I want to do today, however, is to look at three aspects of the relationship between the Creator and his creation. Number one, there is a line between the Creator and the creation. This, again, is a simple and mostly among Bible-believing and God-fearing people an accepted point, but it needs to be taught and it needs to be reiterated. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul has talked about how that nature itself declares God. Then he begins to talk about those Gentile people who turned away from God. They turned from God to their own foolish heart. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 22 of Romans 1. Not only this, the Bible says in verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. So when they looked at the concept of God, the one true and living God, they didn't think that that was sophisticated enough. They thought that they were more intelligent than to believe in the one true God. But yet look at what happened. And this is what occurs over and over again throughout history. When man thinks that he is too smart to serve God, he turns to something that is absolutely foolish when you look at it. That is, in verse 23, the Bible tells us that man, after he turned from the true God, turned to idols. Now, how more foolish could you get than that? And yet, these are the very people who profess themselves to be wise, verse 22. Now, in verse 24, the Bible says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature," that is the creation, "more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So this is being done today. There are people who love nature. They love the creation, but they don't admit that it is a creation. They do not honor and they do not glorify and recognize the Creator who gave us all of this. We need to understand that there is a line of demarcation there. And any time that people erase that line between the creation and the Creator, their morals will degenerate automatically, very quickly, and there's no telling how deep that degeneration will go. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, he talks about how that these people committed everything from homosexuality to murder and all kinds of unspeakable atrocities. Why? Because they turned away from the true source of morality, God. And they did that when they blurred the line between the Creator and the creation. Number two, God owns the world. This world is his. This world is not ours. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 26, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." So everything that we see belongs to God. We talk in a relative sense about how that we own something. Well, I own that piece of land, we say. That's my car. That's my house. Well, have you paid for that house? Yes, I've paid for that house, and it is mine. Not really. There's not anything really that is ours besides our soul. Even our body will go back to the dust of the earth. And certainly, the clothes that we wear, the money that we have, the food that we eat, the homes that we live in, the property that we've amassed, all of that really belongs to God. The Bible says we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. We need to remember every single day that everything that we have of a physical nature belongs to God. It is not ours. It is not our possession. Number 3, God has worked in the world, and God continues to work in the world. Now, there are two extremes about this question. I'm talking about how God does work in the world, how the hand of God does intervene in this life. There are two extremes. On the one hand, on the one extreme, you have deism. Deism says that God made the world, He created the world, but He has had nothing to do with it ever since, and He certainly doesn't have anything to do with it right now. Deism says, yes, God created the world, but He did so like winding up a clock. Just as if you would wind up a clock and let it run down, God created the world, and He's just letting it run down. And in the meantime, deism says God has nothing to do with the world. He doesn't work any miracles. He doesn't speak to the world. The world doesn't speak to Him. God doesn't intervene in any way whatsoever. So think about how cold and how hopeless our situation would be if deism were true. This would mean that when we're in all the trials and suffering and heartaches of life, that we can't pray to God and expect Him to help us in any way, because deism said, no, He created the world. He gave you natural laws, and that's going to govern you. That's going to be all that there is until you die. Deism is an extreme view, and deism is not true, folks. Now, on the opposite extreme, we have the view of Calvinism. Now, Calvinism says that God causes everything to happen that does happen, even man's actions. So, in other words, Calvinism doesn't just say that if there's something bad that takes place in nature, God does it, or if there's something good that occurs in nature, that God does it. Pure Calvinism says that whatever good thing that man does, God does it. Not man, but God. And whatever bad things that men do, God does them, not men. So Calvinism denies that man has free will. Calvinism says that man doesn't make a choice, that God does, God performs all of these things. Well, we know that's not true as well. We know that the Bible does teach that man has free will, that we make our choices. So the truth is in between these two extremes that we're talking about. The one extreme of deism, which says that God has nothing to do with the world, and the other extreme of Calvinism, which says that God causes everything to happen that takes place in this life. Now, let's look at what the Bible says. Let's examine what the Scriptures say about this topic. And let's begin in the book of Acts again. We've looked at this passage several times, but I can't think of a better place to turn to than Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, verse 25, you'll remember here that the Apostle Paul, in talking to these idolatrous Athenians, said that God is not worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He gives to all life and breath and all things. And then in verse 28, for in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. So when we think about the good things that we have in life, these are because of the providence of God, because of God the Creator sustaining this world. You see, God not only created the world, and that is a miracle in and of itself, for God to create the world out of nothing, but God not only created the world, He sustains, He maintains the world, and that is also proof of God Himself. It would take an all-powerful God to do this, folks, every single day that we live. Now, I do want to turn back to Genesis chapter 8 for just a minute and notice what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8 and make just a few comments on what this verse teaches. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. Now, this is when Noah came outside of the ark after the flood. And the Bible says that the Lord told him that he would not destroy the earth anymore with a flood. In verse 22, God made this promise. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, sometimes we call those and other things laws of nature. The laws of nature. Now, we understand what we're talking about. We call gravity, for instance, a law of nature. This expression is not really found in the Bible. We know what it means. It means that these operations in the creation are regular and they are constant. And folks, that is good for us. Imagine living in a world where you didn't have these regular features. Imagine living in a world where you didn't have the law of gravity working all the time. Imagine living in a world where cold and heat did not operate as we see them, where fire would not burn, and where cold would not really affect the world the way that it does and affect us the way that it does. You see, you need some constancy in your life. Man needs some stability in his life, and these laws of nature do that. But what we need to remember about the laws of nature, as we call them, and again, that's not the expression that we find in the Bible. It's not necessarily wrong to use it, but we need to understand that this is our way of trying to describe God's creation. We need to remember that these laws of nature are not above God. They're under God. And in the Bible, God worked above them when he performed miracles. Anytime that you find God working a miracle in the Bible, he was working above natural law. He did that in a way that people could see and they could know that it was the power of God at work. They could know that this was the power of God which suspended a law or certain laws of nature. At the same time, God's hand does intervene in this world today. And in that sense, God is acting above nature. Now, he's not doing that in a seen way. He's doing that in a providential way. You see, the difference between a miracle and providence is that a miracle is something that you could see. Providence is something that you cannot see God doing, or you cannot know that it is the hand of God that's doing it. Now, you can have an opinion about it. You can believe that perhaps this event was caused by the providence of God, but you can't really prove it. A miracle, on the other hand, was something that people saw in Bible times and they could know that it was the power of God at work. And so somebody once said that a miracle is God's hand revealed and providence is God's hand concealed. So yes, the hand of God is still at work in the world today.